in one message to preach on hell. Because it is a truth in the Scriptures that we have to speak and we have to tell it. It's God's Word. I don't know why some preachers think that you can just preach on love and everybody's going to be saved. There's one thing about it. God loved the world so much, and we sang that tonight, didn't we? But why did He love us? He loved us because we were sinners. He loved us because He is love. And you cannot find anywhere in the Bible where God says that hell was made for man. It's not there. But the tragedy of it is that there's thousands and thousands in this place of torment tonight. Alive, that is their soul and spirit. Their bodies is in some grave somewhere, wherever they're buried or burned to ashes, whatever. Some buried at sea. But their soul and spirit is alive in the place called torment. Now, there's only two places that people go when they die. And that's heaven or hell. At the present moment, if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you go into this place of torment. If you're saved, you go into paradise in heaven. And that is instant the moment you die. You see, death never means annihilation. It never means going out of existence. It means that you're separated from your body. When a person dies, the only thing that's dead in the graveyard up the street here is bodies. There aren't a single soul up there. Not one. Your loved ones is not up there in that grave. The only thing that's up there is their bodies. Their soul and spirit is in heaven if they were saved. And sad to say, those that's not saved this year. It's hard to have to say that, isn't it? But it's the truth. Jesus spoke more about hell than He did heaven in the Scriptures. Shall we bow a moment of prayer before we read this chapter, the part of this chapter? Father, open the Scriptures to us. May the Holy Spirit take the things of Christ, the truth of this message. Lord, we know that You said in Your Word that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And that place was prepared after Satan, after Lucifer had fallen. We don't believe that hell was prepared before the foundation of the world, like all the things we read in the Word of God, that even our salvation was ordained before the foundation of the world, that Jesus should come and die for us. We know, Father, that men and women are dying by the thousands, even since we've been in this meeting. Their soul and spirit has gone to hell because they had rejected Christ all their life. Father, may the Spirit of God take the Scriptures and bring home the facts concerning this place and the fact that Jesus died to save men from hell. Yes, Lord, we are saved from hell and saved to heaven. Teach us, we pray, by Thy Spirit. Give us the ability to speak well of the truth, Father. We cannot do it in our own strength, our own ability. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work. And Father, may He carry home the truth to the hearts of those that are here that doesn't know Him as Savior. We ask this, giving You thanks, Father, in the Savior's name. Amen. Let me say at the beginning that this story is not a parable. Many people want to believe, and some Bible teachers and scholars will teach you that this is a parable. Let's just say they're right. I don't believe they're right because I believe it's a true story of two men that lived on this earth. I believe they lived during the time of the Lord Jesus was on the earth. They both died. They were two men, the rich man and Lazarus. Now, the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. He could have very well put the riches ahead of the Lord and not accept Christ. And the poor man did not go to heaven because he was poor. He went to heaven because he accepted Christ. The rich man went to hell because he rejected Christ. That is the final thing. That's the one thing that keeps you from going to heaven, is rejecting Christ. Now, if this is a parable of what hell is, then what is hell itself? if this is a parable of it, if you want to say it's a parable, well, I'll go along with you, but I don't believe it anyway. I don't believe it's a parable because I believe it's a true story. But if it's a parable, just think what the real thing must be. All right, let's read it. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That sounds just about like a rich man, doesn't it? And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Or we might say the leftovers. I tell you, the leftovers is pretty good, aren't they? Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It seemed that the only comfort he had, that the dogs licked his sores. Have you ever had a dog to lick a sore on your foot? You ever had the foot itch between your toes? Ground itch, they call it. I used to have a little old beetle hound named Ring. And when I'd get my feet, toes messed up, I'd let him lick it. And that felt so good. The comfort of a dog's licking a sore. Note what it says. You say, Brother Smith, do you believe that actually happened? I do. The reason I do, because it's the word of God. All right, the dogs licked his sores. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That was paradise down here in the heart of the earth at the time, before Christ died and rose again. The angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom, which in Abraham's bosom is a synonymous term with the word paradise. Paradise has been moved to heaven after the death and resurrection of Christ. I was talking to J.B. Nicholson, Jr., and how many of you know him? Yeah, I'm quite sure you do. And I said, J.B., I said, some of my Bible teachers that I know don't agree with me on this. He said, Smitty, not only did the Lord take all the saints out of this place, but he moved paradise itself to heaven, according to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 4. And when a person dies now, they go into paradise. That's in heaven. And so it says, the angels carried the beggar to Abraham's bosom. I really believe that when a person dies, the angels, that he's a Christian, the angels escort their soul and spirit to paradise. The Lord doesn't come for us when we die. He sends a delegation of angels to escort our souls into his presence in heaven. That's a glorious fact. We bury the body, but the Lord's got the soul and the spirit in heaven. Then it says in the next verse, and the rich, it came to pass that the rich man died, and the rich man also died and was buried, verse 22, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I want to stop there now because we'll come back to verse 24 and go on through the chapter in the latter part of the message. There are those today who say, is there a hell? And if there is a hell, is hell a place? And if it's a place, where is it? That's three questions. Is there a hell? Is hell a place? And if it's a place, where is it? All right, let me give you two great scriptures that bears that out very plainly. Jesus was speaking when he said in the 12th chapter, I believe it, of Matthew, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. 3 days and 3 nights. The Lord was not talking about his soul and spirit being in the grave. When they buried the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's all they buried, was his body. He was not in that body. He descended, according to Ephesians chapter 4, he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. This place is called hell in the English word. It's called Hades in the Greek word, and it's called Sheol in the Hebrew word. And we use the word hell for the place of torment now. But it was, that whole place was called that paradise, the gulf between, and the torment. And so when Christ died and rose again, he removed paradise and all the occupants of that place, which were the Old Testament saints, and carried them up into heaven with him. And so the only place that's here now is the place of torment. So hell is the place. If you notice in verse 28 in this chapter, for I have five brethren, he said, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of what? This place of torment. Friends, we're not talking about something as a fairy tale tonight. I'm not preaching fiction to you. These are facts. This is real. Heaven is real and hell is real. There's only one way to stay out of hell, and that's accept Christ. It's the only way to go to heaven is accept Christ. Somebody accused me one time of being a preaching on hell as a fire escape, preaching on hell as a fire escape to stay out of it. That's exactly right. The Lord Jesus Christ is a fire escape to stay out of hell, but more than that, he's a ladder to heaven. Amen? I'm glad I'm not going to hell. The reason I'm not going is not because I don't deserve it. I do deserve it. I'm not going to hell because Christ died on this cross for me. Paid my debt that I couldn't pay, and he did the same for you. If you reject that, that's what'll take you to hell. All right? Is there fire in hell? Look at verse 24. And he said, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. You say, well, how in the world can he cool his tongue when he's not in his body? They tell me that you have all your senses with you in hell, although you don't have the body. You can thirst in hell, though you don't have a mouth to drink it. As a body. I don't understand it all, but I believe what the book says about it. There's a lot of mysteries here that I don't understand. And I confess to you that I don't know it all. But I do know what I know. As the old black man used to say, I'm going to preach what I know till God showed me something else that I know, and then I'm going to tell that. And that's what we need to do as Christians, is to tell it when God shows it to us. So he says there is flame, torment in this flame. Yeah, there's fire in hell. Now, I don't know that the fire is like the fire you and I know today. Brother Roddy and I was talking about today that fire and water is two very important things for the human to exist on this earth. But when it's out of control, it's a very destructive thing, both of them. I don't know what's the fire that we know or not. But the Bible says fire. In Matthew chapter 25, it says they'll be cast into everlasting fire. That'll be finally after the great white throne judgment. That'll be in the lake of fire. It's Revelation chapter 20 says. They'll be in the lake of fire forever. Who all was going to be in hell? I want you to listen to that group. Every unsaved person from wicked Cain to the last one that dies, after the millennium is over, Satan makes his next move to try to overthrow God, and he goes out to deceive as many as the sands of the sea that was born in the millennium that never did accept Christ. And therefore, he gets a great company following him, even in the millennium. People never got saved with the environment all around them with nothing but peace and righteousness reigning. But that doesn't save you. You have to accept Christ to be saved. And so when he deceives these many ones, he goes up to make his last revolt against God. And God takes the devil and casts him to the lake of fire. And then he casts his angels, the fallen angels, to the lake of fire. And then he casts all the unsaved. As I said, every human being in this world today and every human being that has lived in the past will be either in heaven or hell for eternity. These are bold facts. It's like a billboards on a highway. It's going to happen. Let me ask you something. Which way are you headed? What have you done with Christ? Maybe you've rejected Him all your life. You know, I'm not going to run people down and try to get them saved. I'm not going to jump on people and collar them and try to make them get saved. I used to do that, and all I got was green apples. You know what I mean? Pulled a green apple, it didn't work. It was profession. I want the Spirit of God to so convict a man of his sin that he'll come to me and say, Smitty, show me how to be saved. Yes, I believe in giving an invitation. If I believe the Spirit of God is working on somebody, to give them an opportunity to come forward. Nothing wrong with that. The man I was saved under, J. Harold Smith, does it all the time. And he would be the first one to tell you that a lot of those that come forward is not real. Maybe you've seen some go forward in this meeting at the People's Church that weren't real, because you've seen their life afterwards right here on this island. He would be the first to tell you that not all that come forward and says they'll get saved is really saved. A lot of professions, but not many possessions of Christ. So, who all will be there? Everybody that's unsaved. This old boy's going to be there, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the devil himself. The demons, the fallen angels will all be in that place. That is the final place here. The devil, let me tell you something. People use the statements of slang words sometimes. They say, the devil in hell. He's not in hell. No, the devil's not in hell. He's right here, going up and down this earth. He's the prince of the power of the air right here. The prince of this world. He's going up and down this earth seeking whom he may devour. He's not in hell. He knows he's going there eventually, but he's not there now. No, sir. He's got you deceived tonight in this meeting, this unsaved person. He's making you think that you're pretty good. Maybe you made a profession sometime in early life, but you know down deep in your heart you're not saved tonight. You know that. Can you say you know you're saved? Don't depend on a profession, my friend. Depend on the death of Jesus Christ for your soul and your sins and His resurrection. If you do that, you'll know you're saved. Now we come to a very touchy point. Will there be little children and babies in hell? I can say dogmatically, no. You say, well, where's the line? Where do you draw the line of age accountability? It may vary according to the knowledge of the child or the ability of the child. All children that's reached the age of accountability need to accept Christ as their Savior. I led my son Roger to the Lord when he was 6 years old. I preached on hell, and he cried, and he said, Daddy, I don't want to go to hell. What can I do to stay out of hell? I said, accept the Lord. And I believe he got saved at the age of 6. No, there won't be no babies there. Isn't a baby a precious thing? My son Roger and his wife just had a baby girl, making my 6th granddaughter, number 6. And she's pretty just like her grandpa. You know I'm kidding. Be no babies there. Be no little children there. Will the unsaved be in their bodies? I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Will the unsaved be in their bodies? Right now they are not. The unsaved that's in hell, we done spoke, brought that out. The unsaved that's here now is in their soul and spirit. Their bodies is buried here. This is the earth line. But finally, they'll be in their bodies in hell. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. And he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather Hear him which is able to destroy both soul and what? Body in hell. The unsaved is going to be raised in their bodies at the great white throne judgment. Every human being is going to stand before the Lord Jesus sitting on that throne. He will not be a savior. He'll be a judge. I believe they'll see the wounds in his hands. I believe they'll be reminded of the many times they heard the gospel that he died for our sins on the cross here. Rose again. We heard beautiful songs tonight sang. Wasn't there? Nice, very lovely. And you'll stand here in your body. I don't know what kind of body it'll be. I believe it'll be a body that will be fitted for destruction. Never burn up. The fire in hell is either kind of a fire that won't burn up material things, or the bodies is made or fixed for eternal destruction and never burn up. If God has prepared our bodies for space and heaven, a new body, he can also provide a body for the unsaved to burn forever. I know this is not a pleasant message. Not very pleasant for me to speak it, but I have to. There's no one in the lake of fire yet. The first person, true person that goes to the lake of fire is the beast. The false prophet will go to the lake of fire alive. And 1,000 years later, when Satan is cast there, they are still there. And they haven't burned up yet. You tell that to the Russellite crowd. Jehovah's Witness. No, you won't burn up. You say you may believe that's the kind of God the Bible reveals? Yes. You believe God will send a person to hell? After you choose to go, you make your choice to reject Christ. God has no other alternative but send you to hell. You see, you make the choice of going. As I've already quoted it from Matthew chapter 25, I believe it is, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But just think of how many people's in hell tonight. Oh, they laugh at it. They laugh at the word hell. So the first person will be there will be the unsaved. Or the two unsaved men, the false prophet and the Antichrist. Now, if I would title this message, I'm a little late by titling it, but let me just title it. This rich man in Luke, and I want you to go back to Luke now because we're going to start reading with verse 24. This rich man in hell is a representative of all that is there. He represents everyone that's there. The Lord gave us a glimpse into that place. He gave us a glimpse of the condition of those that's in that place. Note what it says. My title will be The Cries from Hell. The cries of lost souls. The cries of men and women. Boys and girls of the age of accountability, past that age. The cries. The first cry is the cry of mercy. Look at it. Verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. The cry of mercy. No mercy. I'll be that rich man is still crying for mercy in hell and all that he represents, but never no mercy. Then look next in the same verse, the cry of thirst. You know how important water is? a good cold drink of water. On the farm, we had a well. You draw water like this. Pull it up, you know. Rope and tackle, we call it. Some of them had the windle type that wound it up. And then we had a spring down at the end of the, down in the woods, down in the head of the hill, bottom of the hill, that if the well got kind of dry, we'd have to carry water up the hill. And that was hard to carry through that buckets when you're about 10 years old up the hill. The buckets almost dragging ground, sometimes by accident, on purpose, spill some of it. Because it was too heavy. And you think about how water is so important. This man cried of thirst. He's still crying of thirst here. Note next. The cry of pain. I'm tormented in this flame. How many of you know what pain is? You know what it is. Here will be a pain that'll never end. The cry of pain. And then the cry for comfort. Look at verse 25. But when he asked him to send Lazarus to get some water and put it on the end of his finger and cool my tongue, Abraham says, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted. And thou art tormented. Note something. The two words in this verse describes the condition of the people in hell and those in heaven. Two words. The word comforted and the word tormented. And you mean to tell me that you could be comforted and don't know it? Can you be tormented and not know it? Yeah, you're conscious in hell and you're conscious in heaven. Those saints that's gone on, some of them right recently from this island. Brother Azel Hender's wife went. Thomas' brother. Many others that I know of. Brother Pearson Thompson, one of my closest friends. His son's wife. Both died pretty close together. It's a shock to me to hear that. They went to this place. In comfort. Thou art comforted. Lazarus is comforted, but thou art tormented. So the cry for comfort. Then there's the cry of torment. I want you to look at verse 23. It says, being in torments. The word torments is in the plural. And then look at verse 24. Other words, tormented in this flame. Then look at verse 25. And he says, also, tormented again, thou art tormented. And then look at verse 28. This place of torment. Torments, tormented in this place of torment. Talking about here, now. Then we have the cry of being rejected, his request. Look at verse 26. He said, and besides all this, when he asked for Lazarus to go, he said, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed right here. And he says, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The cry of being rejected. Know something else. The cry of deep concern. The people in hell doesn't want you to come. That rich man wanted Lazarus to go back and warn his brethren, lest he come to this, they come to this place of torment. The cry of a deep concern. Did you know something? The people in hell would be sold when they could get out of hell and get saved. But they can't. No hope. The cry of suffering, we've already pointed that out in verse 24, the cry of no hope. There's no way they can get out. The rich man cannot pass from this place to paradise, neither anyone from paradise to that place. It was fixed. You see, when you die, God fixes it. Just like when God told Noah to come down into the ark. And when they went into the ark, it says that God shut them in. It was fixed. And no man could open the door, no man could close it. Or open that door or close it. Only God did that. From the outside, no one could open the inside. And then I think here's one of the most torments of hell. One of them is the cry of loneliness. I've heard people say, well, if I go to hell, I'm going to have plenty of company. Yes, you are, but you're not going to be occupied with them. If I go to hell, I'm going to be able to drink with my buddies. There won't be no booze down there. If I go to hell, I'm going to have my time with the prostitutes. Now, there'll be plenty of them there, but those that don't get saved will be there. But you won't have no opportunity with them. You'll be as though you were the only one there. Loneliness. Suffering and crying. The cry of separation forever from God. I want you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And listen to this passage of scripture. In verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's coming right here when he comes to the earth with his mighty angels. And note the next verse, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. You mean God's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? What in the world does that mean? And they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean? They don't obey the gospel. The fact that Christ died for their sins, was raised from the dead for them to be justified. They disbelieve it. They will not believe it. They reject it. They will not obey it. Obeying it means accepting it. That's what he wants you to do tonight. Look at the next verse. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. And note the statement, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You that are unsaved here tonight can walk up and down the beaches of this island, ride up and down it. I was over the day for dinner with Brother Roddy and his wife, and they got a beautiful view of the whole island here, except this end of it down in here. A beautiful sight. God's glory, God's handiwork of creation. Think about this. Real, beautiful flowers. You know, I didn't learn to appreciate flowers until after I was married about 10 years with my wife. She really got me acquainted with flowers and how to appreciate them. She's a much of a flower girl. She stays in the yard about all the time working with her flowers. She loves them. No flowers in hell. Separated forever from God. He says from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Listen, my friend, the presence of the Lord is not in hell. The presence of the Lord will not be in the lake of fire. One man got up one time in Salisbury, North Carolina, and said, quoting what David said in the book of Psalms, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. And I said, dear brother, I hope you know what that means. If I make my bed in paradise, thou art there, because that whole place was called hell. David was talking about himself, and David was a saved man. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. He wasn't talking about the fireside. He wasn't talking about the torment. He was talking about the paradise side. He disagreed with me. I said, brother, you can't show me where God's presence will be in hell. It's not there now, and it never will be. neither will his glory be there. What a terrible day that's going to be. The cry of being in eternal fire, everlasting fire and everlasting punishment. Every human being in hell will have the full memory of their past life. Remember, he said to Abraham, said to the rich man, remember thou in thy lifetime. You will remember every song that you heard. You unsaved people like to hear good singing, don't you? Especially about the Lord. I did before I was saved. But when the preacher started that, I took off. Yeah. I was running. I wasn't running from the preacher. I was running from God. Don't run from the preacher. He's not going to hurt you. He wants to show you how to be saved. He loves you. You'll have your full memory. The memory of every song that you've heard. The memory of having the tugging of the Holy Spirit in your heart and conscience to tell you, you ought to trust Christ. You know you're not saved. That memory will be there. The memory that many times you heard the way of salvation. Heard of the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. His terrible suffering for sin for you. You see, God gave his best, his only begotten co-equal son, to die for you, to bear your sins in his body, to give you eternal life. And if you reject that, he has no alternative but to send you to hell when you die, because you choose to go. You'll remember every gospel song you've heard. I believe there are thousands and thousands of people in hell tonight. They're saying, oh, if I just had one more chance. If I could just come back to the gospel chapel in Spanish Wells and hear one more gospel message and hear the songs of the Savior being sung, if I just had that one more chance, I would come to Christ. I believe there's people in hell wishing they had one more chance. That man, rich man in hell, wanted somebody to go when he see he couldn't get out himself. He couldn't get no help from Lazarus by bringing some water. Think of it. Alas, alas, too late, too late. You know, if you missed your plane, you can catch another one. If you missed the bus, you can catch another one. If you missed your doctor's appointment, he may give you another next month. But if you miss heaven, and you miss heaven, it'll be eternally too late. Too late. Too late. Listen to me, unsaved friend. I'd like to sit down with you and show you how to be saved. Now let me close my message with this. What is the one sin that's taking the sinner to hell? All the sins of the whole world, Jesus died for them. But this one sin he will not and he cannot forgive you of, and that's the sin of rejecting his son as your Savior. The sin of unbelief. The scripture says in John 16, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. That's the sin. All the other sins were paid for. And if you reject him again tonight, then you should die. You'll meet all your sins at the great white throne judgment and be punished accordingly. I'll be there's degrees of punishment like there's degrees of rewards for the believers. A good, clean, moral man that dies, he's lived a decent, honest life, but never received Christ. He's the Savior. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 8. There's about 8 different classes of people, and one of those classes is the unbelieving. It's classified with all the others. Right there in hell. The unbeliever. What's wrong? They fail to accept Christ. The hardest person to get to Christ is the self-righteous person that thinks he's good enough, doesn't need the Lord. Now, could I take my Bible, sit down with you over here in the office space, show you how to be saved? Could I do that? When we're dismissed, would you just walk over there and sit down? Let me take the Bible and show you, or anybody in this meeting you'd like to talk to? You don't have to necessarily talk to me. Anybody on this island that you've got confidence sufficient, like for them to show you how to be saved, would you go over and sit down and ask for that person particularly? If you want me to, I'll be glad to. It doesn't make any difference who leads into the Lord. You know that? I'm not jealous of them. There's not a jealous bone in my body about who his people save. I told J. Harold Smith when he came over here one time and followed me after I was here in April one year. And he come in and followed me and a lot of people got saved that I had preached to, he said. And I told him, I said, J. Harold, I said, thank God I sowed the seed and you reap. And the Lord gave the increase. It doesn't matter who leads him to the Lord. What I want to see is get saved. I'd like to show you. I kind of the privilege and an honor to do that. Because I'm an evangelist and I want to see souls saved. You see, evangelists like to see babies born. Spiritual babies. Born again. Shall we pray? Father, we ask you to speak to the heart of every person in this room that's not sure they're ready for heaven. Make them to realize that Jesus Christ paid the debt for them. He suffered hell on that cross. Separation from God. We know that one of the meanings of hell is separation from God forever. Another meaning is tormented. We've been saved. Punishment. Suffering. Thirst. And then many more. Father, we pray the Holy Spirit would speak loudly to those in this meeting who's not saved tonight. May they turn to Christ before it is too late. May they never hear those words, too late. Too late to get in. The door was closed. Father, we pray that they will come to know the Lord. Father, may this message speak to our hearts as thy people. To make us realize that men are going to hell by the thousands. People on this island on the road to hell tonight. Some of them have made profession, but their life don't show anything. Oh, Father, if there's anyone like that here tonight that's made a profession, but their life is different from what they profess. May thou just cause them to examine themselves to see if they're really saved. And come to Christ before it's too late. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.